Hello.
Hi, everybody.
It's nice to see everyone. I see a few people in the room that I still owe emails to, and I'm getting through the emails. I think I'm about halfway done. I think eventually I'll probably get to them all. I appreciate everyone being very patient. What I'm doing right now is giving you a link to ReginaDawnAkers.com. And this link goes to October in 2005, which is where we're going to start reading tonight, because we're here for Holy Spirit Guides. And that, of course, is just where, I don't know how long, for a long time now, we've been going through all of the messages that Holy Spirit has shared with me to help me in chronological order. And tonight we're ready to begin at October 2005. So that's the link if you want to read along.
And hello to everybody. It's a very nice room. Friends who were either physically at Be the Love or non-physically in our hearts, of course. We're really much together, and it's a pleasure to be here.
What I would like to do is go ahead and start with an opening prayer. So, Holy Spirit, I am grateful for all of the guidance that you give us. I know that much of your guidance for many of us, a lot of the time, is a very silent and very still type of guidance. So that what we need to do in order to hear it, in order to know it or to realize it, is that we need to allow ourselves to become still and silent within the mind. So, Holy Spirit, for those of us who seem to be challenged in finding that stillness, in finding that space between the words or between the paragraphs or the pages in the mind, I ask that you help us to recognize that it is there. It's not anything that we need to make or create. It is there already. Just help us to notice it. So that we can hear it, if only for a moment. And then we can hear our sanity again. Also, Holy Spirit, while we are with you tonight, during this teaching of these messages that you have given me to help me, these messages that seem to be from a time in the past, I ask that you help each and every one of us to hear exactly what is most helpful to us here and now. Please help us to see whatever is most helpful for us to see. And please help us to realize what is most helpful for us to realize. In order to awaken to the truth of the love that we are. Thank you. Amen. All right, I'll give the link one more time. It's possible some more people have popped into the room. It looks like the list is a little longer than it was. And when you get to October 2005 at reginadonacres.com, what you want to do at the very top of the page, you'll see a little blue link that says Previous Entries. Please click on Previous Entries. And then scroll down to the bottom. And you're looking for a message called Cause and Causation. And it's dated Sunday, October 2nd, 2005. And it looks like I was reading A Course in Miracles. And I felt to ask a question about a sentence. So October 2nd is your birthday, Danielle. All right. Then we'll have, since we're reading October 2nd now, even though it's not really October 2nd, I'll say happy birthday. Okay, so the question is, wait, Monica needs help. I don't see previous entries. So Monica, if you are... Only next entries? Oh, then you're already on the right page. Just scroll all the way to the bottom. If you don't see previous entries, then you're already on the correct page. I may have given you the link to the correct page. So just scroll down to the bottom and look for Cause and Causation. Ah, yeah. Sunday, October 2nd, 2005. All right, here we go. A Course in Miracles says, the miracle is the first step in giving back to cause the function of causation, not effect. I'm going to read that sentence again because this is the sentence from A Course in Miracles that I'm asking Holy Spirit to comment on. So again, the miracle is the first step in giving back to cause the function of causation, not effect. And then I asked the Holy Spirit, what would you like to share regarding this thought? And this is the Holy Spirit's answer. This is why reversal is needed. Reversal cannot come from you, for you believe in the upside-down world in which you seem to be. You believe you are there and others are there with you. You believe the world is independent of you and you are mercy to its effects. at best. You believe you can adapt and find some happiness. You can win and then look away so as not to see the pain that you believe is not yours. You can deny your thoughts or accept them as meaningless. And in doing all of this, you seem to be okay, maybe better off than most, but you are never fully satisfied. So what Holy Spirit is describing in this first paragraph is really the mind of a person, and of course the person would be me. The mind of a person that believes the world is real and certainly believes that the world is cause, and so the person is subject to the world in the language of NTI, or the person is victim to the world in the language of A Course in Miracles. But it doesn't have to be as bad as it could be. In other words, the person does have some limited power, and that limited power might be to choose their attitude or to adjust or to find the silver lining in the clouds. But what's really important is, although the person can make the best of the situation and be reasonably happy, as it says in this paragraph, better off than most, there's still a belief in limits. There's still a belief in that can only go so far. There are just some things that that limit the individual, limit the person. Some things that you really can just not be satisfied with. And so there's never being fully satisfied. And this is, I want to say the kind of person I was, but what I'm realizing is the kind of person that I still am. I remember my aunt told me when I was very young that I was always very good at making lemonade out of lemons. You know, that when the world gave me a bad situation, that if anybody could be happy with it or do well with it, that I could do that. And, you know, it's true. But that is not the same thing as not believing in the world. That is not the same thing as letting go of self. And so this is what Holy Spirit is really pointing out in this very first paragraph, especially in this last sentence where he says, and in doing all of this, you seem to be okay, maybe better off than most, but you are never fully satisfied. Holy Spirit continues, you are never fully satisfied because you believe in lack, and that which you lack, you cannot find. You look for it in relationships, accomplishments, things, food, security, and good times. Like an anesthesia, you may seem to laugh and be happy for a while, but your satisfaction never lasts. So it is on to the next thing that might finally fill the lack. Holy Spirit continues. You can never find that thing because there is nothing that you lack. That's a pretty important sentence. You know, if we're searching outside of us, trying to find that thing that can satisfy us, we have to fail because what we're doing in the first place is that we're believing that we lack. So we're looking for something to feel, to fill a space within us, a lack within us that doesn't actually exist. And if the space within us, the lack within us, does not actually exist, we can't really find anything to fill it. You know, A Course in Miracles says that we shouldn't try to change the world, we should change our mind about the world. But the same thing is true about trying to fill the lack within us. We need to change our mind about the lack within us. We need to realize it's simply not there. So again, Holy Spirit says, you can never find that thing because there is nothing that you lack. You are complete and perfect within the fullness of God now. And this is why the miracle is helpful. It gives you nothing because you need nothing. To give you something would validate the belief in lack. Again, a very important couple of sentences. Let me go on to the next paragraph and then we'll come back to this one and talk about them together. The next paragraph says, the miracle is a simple shift in perception. A change in seeing. So all that was before still can be within illusion, but the lack that seemed to be is gone. This is really important. We often talk about miracles as experiences that we have in form. And I'm not here to knock that, because we have some great experiences in form that come from choosing trust instead of fear, that come from our willingness. And I think it's wonderful to celebrate these experiences in form. But what Holy Spirit is talking about here is something different. Something that's really even more important. He's talking about a shift in the mind that is so profound, so awakening, that nothing has to change in form. Because we just see so incredibly differently now. And he's saying this is the most helpful thing of all, is these shifts in the mind rather than these seeming miracles in form. These shifts in the mind that are so profound that nothing has to change in form, because they do not at all reinforce the idea that something was lacking or missing in the first place. In fact, these miracles that are just shifts in the mind help us to see clearly that there was nothing we needed to be happy, except to make the choice through willingness to simply see differently. I'm going to read these two paragraphs again. Actually, I'm going to read three paragraphs, starting with, you can never find that thing. This is when we're searching for something outside of us to fill some kind of lack within. You can never find that thing because there is nothing that you lack. You are complete and perfect within the fullness of God now. And this is why the miracle is helpful. It gives you nothing because you need nothing. To give you something would validate the belief in lack. The miracle is a simple shift in perception, a change in seeing. So all that was before still can be within illusion. But the lack that seemed to be is gone. Also, one more important point about this sentence, because the ego in the mind right now might be screaming out of fear that the miracle is some sort of sacrifice, because something that we need in form, whether it be money or food or whatever, is not going to be provided. I would just like to point out that what this sentence says is, the miracle is a simple shift in perception, a change in seeing, so all that was before still can be within illusion. And the reason I point that out, still can be within illusion, is because it means that the suffering that seemed to be there because of the seeming lack disappears without anything changing in form. But it does not mean that things will never change in form. For what may follow that perception shift may also be a change in form. But then it will no longer at all be perceived that that change in form was required. It's kind of like in NTI 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where Holy Spirit is describing enlightenment. And he says, you will not need food, but you will eat with joy. Just because you do not need food any longer does not mean the food is not provided. So if the ego is jumping up in some sort of fear and saying that the miracle as we are describing it here is a sacrifice, just know that is not true. The miracle is a simple shift in perception, a change in seeing. So all that was before can still be within illusion, but the lack that seemed to be is gone. The miracle recognizes truth and denies the false. That is all, because that is all that is needed. And we all know that A Course in Miracles teaches us that love cannot be taught. That really all we need to do is find and let go of or forgive the obstacles to love's presence. That is denying the false. Not in the type of denial that comes from fear, of course, not the type of denial that represses it, but the type of denial that says it simply isn't true and recognizes that in honesty. The miracle recognizes truth and denies the false. That is all, because that is all that is needed. Everything is accomplished as it was accomplished long before the dream began. And what is accomplished in reality cannot be undone, or reality would not be the truth of existence. If reality is not the truth of existence, then God is dead and all that is isn't. Yet you know this cannot be, for you realize that you exist. This is one fact you cannot deny. You are existence. And this you know. This is really the beginning of a period of time, which was October and November of 2005, where Holy Spirit was helping me to see differently. It's funny because, again, it's a scene now that's much easier for me, but then, then it wasn't. And so it took a bit of work, it seems like, a few messages, a bit of work on Holy Spirit's part to create this shift in my mind. But what Holy Spirit wanted me to see is that I am, and of course this is true for all of us, of course, is that I am life itself. And that if in any moment my mind tries to question that, all I have to do in that moment is stop and realize that I'm living. And what's really funny is that our mind does try to question that. It doesn't question it in an overt way, because it doesn't question it in a very overt way where you'll totally recognize that it's questioning whether you exist or not. But it does question it, and if you start paying close attention, you will notice that it questions it. Even in something as simple as a seeming conflictual situation where, you know, one person is saying that you are wrong, for example. You made a statement, maybe you said this is what's meant by such and such in A Course in Miracles, and somebody steps up and says, no, this is what meant. This is what is meant. And they're attempting to prove you wrong. There might be a panic that comes up, you know, in these situations sometimes. There might be a panic. This panic is actually a panic that is coming up from a fear that you don't exist. And what it's trying to do is it's trying to grasp for your existence, or you might even call it grasp for your identity. That might be easier for you to understand. But it's really doing that. It's trying to find your place again, because your place is feeling threatened. Your identity is feeling threatened. Your existence is feeling threatened. That's where this panic comes from. And what Holy Spirit is saying here is that if you can start to realize in those moments of panic, if you could just stop and realize that right now you're living, right now everything is fine, you can let that panic pass over you. This is sort of the same thing that Holy Spirit taught me through the mantra that I was given in April, the I Am That I Am mantra. I also realized at one point that this is what Peace Pilgrim taught. I remember Peace Pilgrim used to teach that whenever we are not at peace, it's because our mind is focused on the future or the past. And that if we would just be focused on now, we would realize we are always okay now, and we would always be at peace. And I remember I used to argue with that idea. I used to think, I might not be okay now. There might be something very, very wrong now. I didn't buy that story, that now was always okay. But later I came to realize what she meant was, I am existing now. And when I realized that fully, without the belief that that existence could be threatened, without the belief that that existence could end, when I see that I am existence itself, when I see I am that I am, when I see this is eternal, then there is a peace. Even if things do not seem okay now, because there's a realization that whatever experience I am experiencing is temporary, and I am that which is eternal. There's no fear that I'm going to cease to exist or somehow permanently lose through this experience. And this is where the peace comes from. So this is why Holy Spirit wants us to realize that we exist, and he means this in a very deep way. Because when we realize, truly realize that we exist, and that existence is what we are, and that everything else is temporary, and it can't touch that which we are, then we can allow all other experiences to come and go. And the miracle that is merely the shift in perception, the miracle that does not provide anything in form to fill any seeming lack or to take care of any seeming fear, but yet shows this to us, that I am existence, that I am eternal, and this experience is temporary, and it cannot truly touch me, it cannot truly hurt me, for I am before, during, and after this experience. That's where true peace comes from, is that kind of a shift. It's much more helpful than anything that we may call a miracle, which is actually being provided for in form without the shift in mind that erases the belief in lack. Because everything in form is temporary, including something that we might be provided with to fill a temporary gap. But if the shift occurs and we see that we cannot be hurt, for example, through starvation, then food can come and food can go, and we can still be at peace because we know we are not that which needs food. We truly know we are that is beyond even this lifetime. And that's the peace that passeth understanding. And this is why Holy Spirit wants us to realize that we exist right now, always, in no moment. Is that not true? I exist. I always exist. I exist before, during, and after every experience that comes my way. So Holy Spirit says again that if reality is not the truth of existence, then God is dead. And all that is, isn't. And then he says, yet you know this cannot be, for you realize that you exist. This is one fact you cannot deny. You are existence, and this you know. All that is, because you are. So the truth must be true, and reality must be reality. And the dream that you call life must be an illusion, because it will not last. And you will last, because you are existence. And existence can have no end, or else existence would not exist. This is the shift of the miracle, a change in perspective that shows the false must be false because the truth is true. And that is the end of that particular message. And what I'm going to do is just let go of the mic for a second and see if anyone else has anything they want to share. All right, then, why don't we scroll up to Monday, October 3rd, 2005, exiting the Carnival Tunnel of Horrors. It looks like this is more like a journal entry from me than a message from Holy Spirit. In fact, it looks like when I'm looking at the categories, it looks like it's posted with the visions in the category. So this was a vision that I had. If I remember correctly, I was actually taking a bath when I had this vision, relaxing in a hot bubble bath. Here's what I wrote. I was riding with Angela, my guide, and I'll just tell you briefly who Angela is. Once upon a time, way back before I had Jasmine, when I was reading Peace Pilgrim, I took a class in meditation. Meditation in the traditional sense of the word is not something that I'm good at. So I took a class in meditation to try and become good at it, because you know I could never still this thinking mind of mine. And it was an 8-week class, if I remember correctly, and every week they taught us different methods of meditation, and every week I seemed to fail. I could never do it. You know, they might have us stare at candles, and I'd stare at a candle, but my mind would be thinking. They might have us close our eyes and do the Om thing, but my mind would be thinking. You know, nothing ever worked. And I don't know if it was working for anyone else either or not, because one by one, everyone dropped out of the class. And by the time we got to the last couple of classes, I was the only student. It was me and two teachers. And it was literally the very last type of meditation that they taught me on the very last day of the class that helped me. And it was what I would call an active meditation, which seemed to be the difference, because it didn't immediately require the mind to go blank. Instead, it gave the mind something to do. And what we were supposed to do in this meditation is we were supposed to imagine a place, you know, like a beach. Or in my case, I imagined a place up on top of the mountains in the Rockies, up above the tree line. And you were supposed to imagine every aspect of that place. You know, like in my case, there were some trees that I would hike through in the vision. So there were some trees, and there was a little river and a bridge and the rocks in the little stream and every blade of grass and the flowers and the view and the cliffs and, you know, just every little detail I would imagine in my mind. I was literally creating a place in my mind. And my mind was busy creating this place, and somewhere what happened, without me actively with the mind creating it, once I created this place, it's like it took over. And what happened was I began to be visited by an angel, which I called Angela. And this angel would come to me in this place, and she would teach me things. And at this point, I no longer felt in the lead. I would every day sit down and meditate, and I would recreate the place again, and I would focus on seeing the details of the place. And then at some point, Angela would just show up and start talking to me. And I met with Angela every morning for several weeks, and I learned a lot from her. Unfortunately, back then, I didn't keep a journal, so I don't really remember exactly what she taught me. But it was always awesome stuff. It was the first way I became in touch with my inner guide. After that period of time, I didn't see Angela again until I saw her once in 2004 in a vision, and it looks like I saw her here again in a vision. So it was kind of nice to have her show up a couple more times years later. It was like seeing an old friend. But the first time I saw her must have been back in like 1997. That must have been when I was seeing her before. Anyway, that's just a little bit of history about who Angela is. So in this particular vision, exiting the Carnival Tunnel of Horrors, I wrote, I was riding with Angela through a carnival tunnel of horrors. Painted cardboard images of fear and guilt hid in the dark, ready to pop out and frighten me. But these images could not hurt me. And I'm remembering the vision now. I was riding, and, you know, like it was like a haunted house at a carnival. So you know how those haunted houses are usually just like in the back of a truck or something. They're not real big. It's not like a Disney World haunted house or anything. It's just in the back of an 18-wheeler, you know, usually. And you're in these little cars, and you're seat-belted on, and you're on a track. And these are just cardboard, painted cardboard images that kind of spin around real quick. But, you know, they can't reach you. They're not alive. They can't hurt you. But they can startle you, and certainly certainly when you're a child, you may remember it would be very frightening to go into these haunted houses. Some of you may not have even gone because you were so scared. So again, I'm riding around in one of these haunted houses, and these images of fear and guilt pop out, these two-dimensional images, ready to frighten me, but they couldn't hurt me. And then I continue to write, after all, they were nothing more than painted two-dimensional images on cardboard, and I was riding in an automated car, safely seat-belted, and safely out of their reach, as if they had a reach, because of course they didn't. And I was riding with an angel from heaven who sat serenely beside me, looking ahead with a confident and peaceful gaze. And I remember this vision well. I was very afraid of these cardboard images. And I remember looking at Angela next to me, and of course I saw no fear. She was completely at peace. And I remember I knew that she had a willingness for me to ride around in this tunnel of horrors for as long as I wanted, and she knew I couldn't be hurt. I knew she knew that. I could see it on her face. As we go back to what I wrote that day, I wrote, Angela knows what is ahead. It is the door that will open to the light and lead me out of the tunnel of horrors forever. She knows that nothing can hurt me here. And it doesn't really even matter how long I stay here. Nothing can ever hurt me. I'm going to read that sentence again because this is very much in line with the message we just read on cause and causation. That what we really need to realize is we are existence itself. Nothing can hurt us. She knows that nothing can hurt me here. And it doesn't really even matter how long I stay here. Nothing can ever hurt me. She also knows that it is my own decision that will open the door and let me out. She gently holds my hand and with a loving squeeze lets me know that when I am ready, and I will be ready, I can open the door and we will ride out of this tunnel of darkness forever. So it's a nice vision because, again, it shows me that I can never be hurt, and that if I seem to decide to stay here in fear, experiencing suffering, that there is a part of me, which is represented by Angela, that knows I'm always okay. And really what I need to do in order to find peace in any situation is get in touch with that part of me. That part of me that knows I'm okay. Jasmine, my love, did you want something or are you just listening? Mm. Yeah? You feel lonely? Well, listen, I'll be done teaching in 15 minutes, okay?
I'll go get something.
Okay, see you later. I'll let go of the mic for a second and see if anybody has anything they want to share. All right, then. Why don't we scroll up? Characters in the Mind, Tuesday, October 4th. Very, very short, kind of like a single quiet thought. In fact, it's very much like a single quiet thought. I bet you the single quiet thoughts start coming pretty soon. In fact, I do think they started coming in November of 2005, the first time around. This looks like a predecessor to the single quiet thoughts. It's called Characters in the Mind. Oh, wait, Jasmine's back. Did you want something, my love?
How long do you cook the chicken nuggets from that space?
How many chicken nuggets do you have? I would cook them about 50 seconds, 50.
Okay,
here we go. Characters in the Mind. If you can see that every person, every character within your life is but a thought within your mind, then you can choose to love them instead of fear them. And that changes everything. I'm going to read that again. If you can see that every person, every character within your life is but a thought within your mind, then you can choose to love them instead of fear them. And that changes everything. If we go back to the last two things that we've just looked at, the message on cause and causation, and the vision on the carnival tunnel of horrors, what we can really see is that what these two things were teaching us is I am existence. That's what I am. I am existence. Well, the flip side of that, of course, is if I am existence, I am not Regina. Regina is a temporary experience, a character, like it says here. It's not my reality. My reality was before, during, and after the experience of Regina. What I am is something far beyond that. And if that is true of me, then that is true of my brothers as well. My brothers are existence. They are not the temporary personality that I am experiencing. And if I can place my mind on the reality of their existence, I'm really placing my mind on the light that they are. And I will not take the personality I seem to experience quite so seriously, because I know it's not reality. But even beyond that, one thing that I know for a fact is that we all experience each person differently. If we were all going to write a brief essay, two or three paragraphs on who Regina is, including me writing who I think Regina is, and then we got together and compared them, we would find that we didn't all have the same Regina. We would find that we each see Regina differently. We each experience Regina differently. And the funny thing about that is, I'm no more right about it than you are. We're each just making up these characters in our minds, and we're experiencing them the way we want to, and we're totally forgetting that we're just playing a game with existence, and that existence is the reality, and the temporary characters are just experiences we are having because we want to. But what Holy Spirit is saying is if that we can see If we can see that the way we experience everyone, including ourselves, is really just taking these ideas in our mind, which seem concrete, but they aren't, they're just ideas. It's just taking these ideas in our mind, which seem concrete, and, you know, just imagine for a moment this formless life, and imagine ideas written on paper mache, strips of paper. You know, we take these ideas, you know, responsible, nice, controlling, rude, you know, and we put these ideas on these paper mache pieces of paper, patient or impatient, and we put them all over this formless life, and pretty soon we seem to have a form, and we believe that form is the reality. But again, it isn't. The reality was that formless life underneath. And the funny thing is, we didn't all create the same papier-mâché personality. And in fact, that might be a fun exercise to try sometime. If I'm brave enough, maybe I'll let me be the guinea pig. Maybe we'll just have everybody write two or three paragraphs or just even list adjectives describing who is Regina and then compare them. And maybe we'll find out that we don't all have the same Regina. I know it's true. So these are just ideas in our mind, and if they're ideas in our mind that we are believing, whether we seem to like or love them, whether we seem to hate them, whether we seem to like Regina or hate Regina, it's irrelevant. If it's an idea in my mind that I'm holding to, it must be in my mind because I want it. And if I want it, if it's a game that I'm playing, a doll that I'm making, a character that I'm making, when I start to see that, then I won't fear it anymore. I only fear it when I think it's real, when I think Regina is that monster I created. When I realize it's just a monster I created because I wanted to experience a monster, well, it kind of, you know, takes the fear right out of it. Suddenly now it is a two-dimensional cardboard object. And then I can just laugh at, or, you know, laugh at the character I created, and I can realize that what's underneath it is the life that just keeps living, the same life that I am. And all there is, at least for me, in life that just keeps living, you know, all there is that I feel when I look at that is love. And how can you hate or have a grievance against life? So if you can see that every person, every character within your life is but a thought within your mind, then you can choose to love them instead of fear them. And that changes everything. Once again, I'll let go of the mic and see if anybody has anything they want to share. Yeah, Bill Free, please take the mic.
That description was really that was a great description of just thinking through that, you know, image, that perception, who Regina is and what that means to each of us. That sounds like it would be fun to do, but in reality, you're not even real. You're not even there. And one thing that I've noticed with you, Regina, and other, I would say for lack of a better description, a more experienced, more maybe practicing, more vigilant or whatever, someone who is really practicing the course, and it doesn't always mean someone who's been doing it for a long time, but someone who is really seems to be modeling, demonstrating, practicing the course, as I have seen you and others, many others really now. One thing that I'm noticing is the pause after you're speaking. One thing is, even in a conversation, even in a private conversation with you or with others that are practicing course students, I'm seeing less emotions, less emotional feedback, automatic feedback and response, and more of a waiting, more of a pause and a waiting before maybe answering the question of another brother or sister. And so that's who I see Regina as a son of God who's not real. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, and I'll be honest. One, I mean, I, every day is different. Every moment is different with an experience. We just talked about the fact that we are existence and that the experiences come and go. We are that which was before, during, and after. So I would say that the pauses when I speak can actually seem to come from different places. Sometimes I'm very much at peace. And the pauses are there just because they're natural. And what does happen in the pause is that I hear Holy Spirit. And I hear / feel the guidance of what to say next. I know what to say next. So it's like I'm discovering what I will say in the pause. Tonight, the pause came because I was not at peace. And if you, you know, remember the beginning of this, or if you hear the beginning of this conversation, you know, this teaching tonight, then what you might hear is at the very beginning, before I said hardly a word except for hi and here's the link, before I even said what I want to do is pray, there was just a pause. And that was because I was not at peace. And I knew that what I needed was this teaching. It's funny because my mind was also telling me that because I was not at peace. All right, and by the way, this is a bullshit story. In case any of you guys hear it, I want you to know this is a bullshit story. We have to get to recognize the ego's bullshit stories so we don't believe them. But it was telling me that because I was not at peace, I should not come here and teach. That's a bullshit story. Because I needed this teaching. I needed to come here, get still, be quiet, and let Holy Spirit speak to me through this form that we call teaching. So tonight I got still, so that I could quiet the mind, remember why I was here, and let Holy Spirit come to me for me. Now, I'm very happy to share, so if, you know, what is coming tonight is also helpful for you, you know, please take it too. But the funny thing is, probably the lesson in that is that notice that the stillness is helpful in both cases. When I'm perfectly at peace, the stillness comes naturally. But that's still how I hear. And when I'm not at peace, I need the stillness so that I can hear. But one thing that is really important is that we don't put anyone on a pedestal. And I've experienced a few people lately, especially since I was at a conference, who have me on a pedestal. And I'll be honest, that's the last place I want to be. I have my own struggles. Sometimes they're pretty tough. Right now I'm going through a pretty tough one. I have great times when I am really at peace and everything is easy, and that's a lot of fun. But remember, this is just the spiritual path. This is what Peace Pilgrim described as the spiritual path. She said it's a series of hills and valleys. The hills are the times when we're at peace, when it seems easy, and the valleys are when we go back into the ego again. And what she taught was that the valleys are not a failure. The valleys are a necessary and important part of the spiritual path, because we go into the valleys in order to see more ego and let it go. And if we never allow ourselves to go back into these valleys, then we aren't able to finish the job of letting go of the ego. We have to see it to let it go. But what I also want to say is that when we're in these valleys, we do need the stillness. Because when that thinking mind is, you know, going on whatever it's going on, we're just listening to the ego, so we need to find the stillness. And sometimes at first, it's hard. Sometimes at first what we need to do is we need to just be patient with ourselves. If the mind seems to be going and going and going, and we know it's out of control, that's enough. Even if you're believing it in the moment, if you know it's out of control, you're not wholly sane in that, you're wholly insane in that moment when you know it's out of control. And if you can't seem to find the stillness, you can't seem to stop the chatter, then just choose patience. Just know that it cannot last forever. Remember that you are existence. You were before this experience, and you will be after, but this experience has to die because it's temporary. And just be patient. And what will start to happen if you just be patient is it will start to slow. And then when it starts to slow, then you can start to seek the stillness within. And the stillness may not have profound, deep, long messages where you can write 3 pages of what Holy Spirit said. It may just say rest. It may just say wait. It may just say trust. But if you listen to that bit of guidance that came in the stillness and do that, the mind's going to slow some more. And then you might be guided to go to Pal Talk. You might be guided to open A Course in Miracles or NTI. And then you may hear something that exposes something in your mind, something you needed to see. And then there might start to be that feeling of willingness in your chest again. You remember why you're here. You're here to let go of the ego. And you can start to feel some happiness that you're starting to see an error in your mind. You can start to feel some strength that says, yes, I can let go of this error in my mind. This is when you're on the way back up again. And it may take time. Sometimes it feels immediate. Sometimes it takes time. Just keep being patient. And remember that for each and every one of us, whether it's teachers, whether it's our spouses, whether it's, you know, our friends, each and every one of us goes through these hills and valleys. So be patient and don't judge yourself when you're going through them. And be patient and don't judge your friends or teachers when they're going through them. In fact, be grateful. And remember that the valleys are an important part of the spiritual path. Because we cannot let go of the ego if we do not see it. And even be grateful that it takes time. Be grateful that it's a gentle path where we see the ego a little at a time and let go of it and we're not overwhelmed. Let's just be grateful for everything and trust everything. It's like the single quiet thought that Holy Spirit gave us not too long ago. He said, trust the healing process. It is what it may not seem to be. Trust the healing process. It is what it may not seem to be. So trust whatever we're going through. Remember to be patient with ourselves and our brothers. Remember that we really are where we want to be. We're on the path of awakening. All right, hold on 1 second. I'm going to take a private message, which I don't usually do. Ah, and it's just an I love you. Somebody's hearing. All right, I think it's 10:04, so I think we will stop for now. Let me just peek at where we're at. Okay, so next time we get together, which will be on the 27th of August. Oh, suicide. There's something to look forward to. Okay, so we'll come back in 2 weeks and look at this message about suicide. All right, you guys, you know that I love you and that I'm very grateful for each and every one of you. Thanks for letting me come in here and talk, even though I'm not enlightened yet, because I don't know how else I could ever get there if it wasn't for this wonderful opportunity that is provided for us in ACIM Gather. All right, thank you. Good night.